Hey, Calvary Tucson, Ben Corson here from Hope Generation. I love Robert Furrow. I feel like we became fast friends last time I was in Tucson. We had some amazing Mexican food, and believe me, I'm coming back for that Mexican food with extra habanero sauce this time, just like last time. So I love you guys so much. I am going to give you a message of hope for this Sunday morning service. I believe that we can not only have hope through heartbreak, which is something I often talk about, but we can have hope through outbreak. I believe that Christ is in the midst of the crisis, so we don't have to panic due to the pandemic. As we worry who's going to stop the spread, we can remember that Christ has the power to contain the contagion. We can know that our God is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Now, Psalm 91 says that we can dwell under the shadow of his wings. Now, that word wings is very interesting because Psalm 91 is a chapter that deals with disease and not needing to be afraid of the pestilence. Now, when it says you can dwell under the shadow of his wing, Malachi would go on to say that the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness would rise with healing in its wings. Now, that's interesting because Psalm 91, going back there, says this, that we don't have to fear the disease of the nighttime. Why? Because we dwell under the shadow of his wing. Why is this important? Because Malachi says that the S-U-N of righteousness will rise with healing where? In his wings. So the darkness of the disease that prowls at night will be defeated by the wings that rise in the day, the Son of righteousness, which brings healing. But it gets even cooler. In the New Testament, we're told the story of a woman who had a disease, a sickness for 12 years. She got healing by reaching out to touch what? The border of Jesus's garment. Now, the reason that's fascinating is because, watch this, in the book of Malachi, when it says the Son of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, that word wings can refer to the tzitzit, the talith, the hedge, or the border of a Jewish man's garment. In fact, that's what it means etymologically in the original Hebrew language. When it says the sun will rise with healing in its wings, that word wings can literally refer to and does mean in Hebrew the border of a garment, which is why this woman reaches out for what? The border of Jesus's garment, because evidently and ostensibly she understood the prophecy of Malachi that the sun would rise with healing where? In the border of the garment, we dwell under the shadow of his wing, his tzitzit, his talith. Therefore, we don't have to fear the darkness of the disease because the sun will rise, healing will come. He's Jehovah Rapha. That's who he is. So we have hope even in the midst of outbreak. Now, a lot of people are wondering, what do I do when I'm going stir crazy? That's happening, at least with my friends, like a bunch of them keep saying, I'm going stir crazy. I don't know what to do while the world's on pause and I'm self-quarantined. Well, here's what I want to point out to you and something I find very interesting. Paul the Apostle, when he was quarantined, in prison, stuck in a dungeon, not just house arrest, but actual prison, he wrote Philippians, Ephesians, Philemon, and Colossians all in one bout. So when he's quarantined, what does he do? He writes four books of the New Testament. In the year 1606, there was a plague that spread throughout England. William Shakespeare had to also self-quarantine because of the disease. He was stuck in his home just like we are. What did he do? Did he twiddle his thumbs? No. When William Shakespeare was self-quarantined due to the disease of 1606 spreading throughout Britain and England, what he did when he was self-quarantined is he wrote King Lear, Antony and Cleopatra, and Macbeth. That makes me think, what have I been doing in self-quarantine? Because while the world is on pause, friends, we can be productive. As COVID-19 and the coronavirus is spreading, we don't have to panic. Due to the pandemic, we see Christ in the midst of this crisis, and we can be productive and press play even though the world's on pause. We can be like Shakespeare. We can be like Paul because we dwell under the shadow of his wings. We have confidence in Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, so we can put our hand to the plow and get to work. Work the craft. I love this. Now, I know we all long to be together. I know we all long to be with one another. I know there in Tucson, you're saying, man, I miss hearing Robert in person. I miss being with my fellow churchgoers at Calvary Tucson. I miss people. And that's a good thing. In fact, the phrase one another appears more than 60 times in the New Testament alone. The phrase one another appears more than 60 times in the New Testament alone. So the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and we're forced to adhere to and heed that commandment digitally as a virtual congregation right now. But I want to actually tell you that your self-quarantine and social distancing and this time of feeling totally alone as you're locked in your home is actually a very biblical concept, precept, and principle. Here's what I mean. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah 26, verse 20. Now, I'm imagining you do have your Bible because you might be watching this sermon from bed. It's like breakfast in bed. We're serving you milk, the gospel, meat, the strong doctrine, and manna, the inspirational rhema word. Milk, meat, and manna. Here's breakfast in bed for you. We're delivering it to you. Church to you at home, church on the go, because we kind of have to during this season. But look with me in your Bible at Isaiah 26, verse 20, to see how quarantine is actually a biblical thing and how we can handle this time of feeling like we're going stir crazy during COVID-19 and the coronavirus. Let's take a look at Isaiah 26, 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until this indignation be overpassed. Isaiah says, you should shut the door behind you. You should hide yourself. You should remain behind locked, closed doors until what? Until this indignation be overpassed. The same thing happened in Exodus 12. You remember when the death angel was passing over the homes of the Jewish Hebrews and killing the firstborn of the Egyptians? What were they to do? They were to put hyssop and blood on the lintels of the door, and they were to roast a lamb. They were to make sure the lamb was on fire and cooked. Why? Because the Lamb of God should always be on fire in us. We shouldn't be lukewarm or cold. We should be like hot, like always passionate about God, because when the Lamb of God is burning inside us, that Christ dimension living through us, then it's no longer we who live. It's a greater plane of reality that's living through us. But be that as it may, Isaiah 26, 20, same thing as Exodus 12. Isaiah says, come, my people, shelter behind closed doors, lock the door, hide yourself away in your home until this indignation be overpassed. Now, I want to be very clear about something. I do not believe that coronavirus and COVID-19 is from God. It's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give Zoe, which means life in its overabundance, an over and above kind of life. However, I do believe that what Hippocrates says has a ring of truth to it. It kind of rings some vague psychic cherries and has some sort of reverberations in this echo chamber of truth throughout the annals of history. Hippocrates, who was a doctor and a philosopher, a metaphysician from 2,400 years ago, he called the sickness the divine disease. Now, I do not believe that coronavirus is a disease divinely sent. I believe it's from the infernal places, from places of darkness. However, I do believe that what the enemy intends for evil, God uses for the good. Watch this. I believe that this disease, though evil in itself, can be divinely redeemed by Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, and he can bring good out of this crisis, because Christ is in the midst of crisis. And just because your storm is present does not mean your Savior is absent, and the storm can never take you where God can't keep you. And some storms were not meant to disturb our lives. Some were meant to clear our path. That's the reality. Now, watch this. We can use this time of pause not only to be productive and press play, but also to use this time to pray in the presence of the Prince of Peace, if you like phonetics and alliteration. In the book of Numbers, there was a disease that was spreading through the camp of Israel. And God told Aaron, who was the high priest, the brother of Moses, he said, watch this, take a live coal from off the flames of the altar, put it in an incense censer that would contain the live coal from the flames of the altar. And as the incense was ascending up to heaven, he was to offer intercessory prayer up to heaven as well. And the intercessory prayer would rise in concert and conjunction with, coinciding with, the incense that was offered up. The intercessory prayer went right alongside it. And Aaron prayed, and what happened? The plague stopped. The disease was stemmed. The plague was excised. Why? Because Aaron chose to pray. This is not unprecedented in the Bible. You remember in the book of 2 Chronicles, Asa, he contracted a disease in his feet. because he sought the doctors and not God, it says that he died. Now, doctors are wonderful, but if we're confiding more in human power than we are in divine strength, that's where we start to err, and that's where we start to find the disease being even more fatal. Again, in the book of Chronicles, God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. Now, that was in the specific context, that text of disease. So it was specifically talking about if there's disease, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. Who's going to be like Aaron and stand in the gap? That's going to be you, Calvary Tucson. You're going to be standing in the gap. You're going to be like Aaron. You're going to be making intercession in concert with the incense, the live coal from off the altar going up to the heavens. We can be the people who heal our land through the power of prayer. I believe this. And by the way, did you know the Bible talks a ton about disease and quarantine? Like Leviticus 13:46, for instance, to use one example of many, says if you have a white hair popping out of your skin, if you have a spot on your skin and it's a potential skin disease, whether it's leprosy, which was called the living death, or even a lesser skin disease, you were to self-quarantine for 14 days and the priests were public health officials and they would check to see if it was a contagious disease. So even back in the days of Leviticus, they were supposed to self-quarantine. We're going through that now today. And a lot of people are afraid, not only because of the fears of loneliness and a depleted immune system from going stir crazy and not having human touch, a lot of people are afraid of what's going on with the economy. The truth is, a couple weeks ago, we had the worst day in Dow Jones history since the year 1987. We've seen an economic downturn. Fortunately, lately, the stocks have rallied a little bit, but people are worried, are we going into another great recession? Are we perhaps going to go into another great depression? People are fearful. They're worried. Psalm 91, verse 6 says this. We do not need to fear the pestilence that walks about in the nighttime, nor the disaster of noonday. Now, that word pestilence in the Hebrew language is very fascinating. One ancient English manuscript renders that word pestilence goblin. Now, the word pestilence, as you may know, means disease. So one old English manuscript renders that goblin. You don't need to fear the pestilence, disease, or goblin of the night, Psalm 91:6. And the word disaster at noonday, the word disaster in Hebrew can literally be translated devils. Isn't that the perfect descriptor, moniker, and sobriquet? Ray, what's happening with COVID-19 and the coronavirus? Feels like a goblin popping out of the shadows. It feels like a devil lurking about in the daytime. It feels like an orc coming up from the underworld, the netherworld, like a shade. And what does the Bible say? We don't have to fear. Why? Because Jehovah Rapha is a God who heals. Under his wings we trust. We don't fear the goblin of the night because the sun will rise to end this night. So we cling heaven by the hems. And like that woman with the disease of 12 years, we'll be healed too. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible declares. Exodus 15:3 says, our God is a warrior. That's what it says. Our God is a warrior. He is a mighty orc slayer, fighting battles on our behalf and answering prayers at our behest. We have one on our team who is braver than Batman, stronger than Superman, more indomitable than Iron Man, more audacious than Ant-Man, more awesome than Aquaman. His name is the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And because he images a God who is fighting for us, we have a mighty orc slayer fighting on our behalf, so we don't have to fear the goblin, that is COVID-19. We don't have to fear the disease and pestilence lurking about in the night, which is coronavirus. Now, it's really interesting on a political level. Have you noticed how the Trump administration has rebranded itself as a wartime presidency? So if you go back to James Madison, during the War of 1812, you remember the British burned down the White House and the British were basically acting like pirates, attacking mercantile ships coming from America. So there was this great war. It was really nicknamed the Second Revolutionary War, but be that as it may, in the War of 1812, James Madison was a wartime president and he was elected to a second term in the middle of a war. If you fast forward to Abraham Lincoln, it was a month after he was reelected that the Civil War ended, but because the Civil War is still happening, he got reelected to a second term. Fast forward to World War II. When was FDR elected to a third term? It was in the shadow of World War II. Go over to the 2000s. When was George W. Bush reelected? In the middle of the war against Iraq when we invaded the Middle East. Be that as it may, the Trump administration, with political astuteness, has said, hey, Trump, President Trump says, I'm a wartime president now, only the war is not against flesh and blood. It's actually against COVID-19, the coronavirus. It's against the disease, which you understand the politics of that. We really do feel like we're in a war. It's not against the British. It's not against the Shiites. It's not against the Sunnis. It's not against the Saudi Arabians. It's not against any sort of foe like the Germans or the Nazis or the Japanese or the Russians. It's not the Cold War. This is a war against principalities and powers. This is a war against coronavirus and a disease. This is a war against goblins and devils. And this is a war, my friends, we will win. We'll win. We'll win. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that death has been swallowed up in victory. That word for victory is Nike in Greek. He has stitched the Nike swoosh onto our spirit. That's the original word that Paul used. We know that we're going to be victorious. By the way, I love the Golden State Warriors. And when the Warriors win, I know you guys probably all like the Phoenix Suns. But when the Warriors win, I say, we won. When the Warriors lose, I say, they lost. I change the personal pronoun from we to they if they lose, because God put innately within us the desire to associate with victors and to stand in the winner's circle. So that's why, listen, the Bible says God has swallowed up death in victory. God never loses. He has an undefeated record, and he is going to beat this virus too. I believe it. So we want to stand in the winner's circle. Listen to this. Jesus specifically said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Specifically in the context of him dying. We don't have to be afraid of the death all around us. More than 20,000 people have died due to coronavirus. We don't have to fear death. Why? Because Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, a place is being prepared for you. When he said, do not let your heart be troubled, in the Greek language, that word for troubled is shudder. Do not let your heart flutter or shudder, because there's a place prepared for you. Now, as we believe these spiritual realities and enter into a higher plane of metaphysical existence, studying scripture together, flying 30,000 feet up and donning our scripture scuba gear and plumbing the deeps, not just skimming the surface as well. I want to tell you that we should also be practical and pragmatic. So I think it's very good that we are taking the advice of the CDC. As you know, the CDC has declared that 56,000 people die every year due to the flu. 50 million people died in the 1918 Spanish flu virus. You've had the West Nile virus. You've had SARS. You've had Ebola. Tons of sickness has really plagued the bubonic plague, the history of not only our nation, but the world. And so it's smart, wise, and shrewd of us to take the advice of Fauci and the CDC. Now, I want to tell you this. Luke was a medical doctor. He would have worked for the CDC. Luke in the Bible wrote 25% of the New Testament. He's the most prolific New Testament author. Paul wrote 14 books. Luke only wrote 2 books, but he wrote a higher percentage than any other author. Now, Luke was a medical doctor, a physician, and yet he went on a missionary journey with Paul the Apostle, who did all these healings. There's one story of Paul transferring his healing powers to handkerchiefs and aprons as if they were talisman, and then these sick people touched the handkerchiefs and aprons and were healed. Who records that? Luke. What did Luke do for a profession? He was a doctor. So on one hand, you have him practicing medicine, but on the other hand, you have him recording miracles. Some people focus only on medicine and the pharmacology of the West. Other people focus only on the miracles and spirituality of the ancient Near East or the homeopathy of the East. Instead, we need to amalgamate both of them and say, what's the CDC saying? How can we abide by the laws of the land, Romans 13? And yet at the same time, how can we stand in the gap and pray for healing over our land as Chronicles tells us to do? How can we be like Aaron, take the live coal from off the altar, put it in the censer, and offer our intercessory prayer to God to see our nation healed? We can be both medicinal and miraculous. Jesus miraculously healed a blind man with what? His spit, according to the gospel stories. Now, back then, spit was believed to have medical power. Tacitus, who was a Roman historian, records the Emperor Vespasian healing a sick person with his spit. So when Jesus miraculously healed with spit, he was using the medicine of his day to heal miraculously, as if he was putting his stamp of approval on the CDC, on medicine, on doctors. Luke himself was a doctor. So I think we can combine both of these things. As I draw to a close, I want to tell you, my dear friends, God is bigger than the coronavirus. God is bigger than COVID-19. You don't have to be fretful. You don't have to be fearful. The Bible says there is appointed a day for every man to die. That means that death is an appointment, not an accident. Therefore, it stands to reason that you are indestructible until God calls your number and sees your time here on earth is up. Because of that, you have a bulletproof soul. Therefore, it is fear of the coronavirus that is more lethal to the soul than COVID-19 could ever be to the body. The truth of the matter is God is with you. Jehovah Rapha hears you when you pray to him. He's tapped into souls like the FBI is tapped into phones. He's listening. God's answering your knee mails. And when you kneel before him, he will stand up for you. And when God stands up for you, no one can stand against you. So I want to encourage you to be a hope dealer in this time of insecurity, in this time of fear, and in this time of crisis. We're going to be the people who are spreading Jesus' joy, calm delight, sacred optimism to the world around us. Blaise Pascal, the great philosopher and mathematician, he said that most of the pathologies of mankind stem from man's inability to sit in a room alone with his thoughts. But friends, we're not going to go crazy because we know we're never alone. We're not just alone with our thoughts. We have the Prince of Peace always with us, who promises us his presence and premises it with his power when he rises from the dead. According to Luke, he says, all authority's been given to me. So I want to encourage you to continue to put your trust in God. My message for you is simple. Do not fear. As Jesus said when he conquered the grave, peace be with you. As we just celebrated Easter last weekend, death has been swallowed up in victory. Do not let your heart shudder. We're the people who've gone through hell carrying buckets of water for those still consumed by the fire. So we might go through hell, but we're not going to smell like smoke. We might be at our rope's end, but we're not at our hope's end. We might be knocked down, but we are not knocked out. We might lose a battle, but we're not going to lose the campaign. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Just because bad things are happening around us does not mean they need to be happening inside us. We can't control what happens to us, but we can control what comes through us. God doesn't do anything cruelly to us. He only does things lovingly for us. And if God's going to do something lovingly for us, he's first got to work something in us by faith. So don't look down and give up, but look up and get up, because Jesus rose so you could rise. Fear not, my friends. God is with you, and God is a lot bigger than the coronavirus.